In today's gospel, the Samaritan woman at the well comes to faith in Jesus. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food, and the Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you give this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband.' For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." "What you have said is true," the woman said to him. "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one said, "What are you looking for?" Or, "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here?' I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me everything I have done. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Some years ago now, there was a song that became quite popular, which you still hear from time to time on some of the easy listening stations. The song was entitled, "Is That All There Is? Is That All There Is?" And in it, the woman singing tells how when she was a little girl, she wanted to go to a circus. And finally, a circus came to town, and she went. And when the circus was all done, she thought to herself, "Is that all there is? Is that all there is to a circus?" As the song goes on, she sings how she always was looking forward to falling in love, finding somebody to love and someone to love her and back. And it happens finally. But after some period of time, she finds herself thinking, "Is that all there is to love? Is that all there is?" And the song goes on like that. Kind of depressing song in some ways. At the time it came out, some of the commentators on the lyrics said, you know, the problem with this woman is that she had too high expectations. She anticipated things would be just, you know, perfect, and so she was obviously going to be disappointed. Well, maybe that's true. But I think the song does cause us, if we're honest with ourselves, to recognize something about life, our lives. Nothing will ever perfectly satisfy us. No matter how happy we might be at a given moment, how good things seem to be going, isn't it true we're always looking for something a little more, something a little bit better, something a little bit different? We're never perfectly happy, perfectly satisfied. I remember an example of that from my own life that I oftentimes think about because it was so powerful to me at the time. When I was studying to be a priest, one weekend in the seminary, we really were going to have a wonderful weekend. On Saturday night, we were going to have a big Italian supper. We had one of the seminarians whose name was Jimmy Sipikowski, good Polish boy. But his mother had been Italian and taught him how to cook Italian. So every once in a while, he'd cook a big spaghetti and meatball dinner for us. That was going to be great. And then after supper that night, we were going to have a movie. Once a month or so, a movie would come into the seminary. We'd have a movie night. And that particular movie that night was going to be one of my favorite musicals. So that would be great. And then on Sunday the next day, I had been invited by a family I'd gotten to know in the area to go visit them and spend the day with their family. So that was, looking forward to that. So it was going to be really a wonderful weekend. But I distinctly remember as I was sitting down to eat that spaghetti supper that night, as much as I was enjoying it, at that very moment I was enjoying it, I was already thinking about the movie. When I was sitting there, caught up in the movie, I was already thinking about the next day being with that family. And the next day when I was with that family having a wonderful time, I was already thinking about the fact that I had to go back to class the next day. See, as good as every one of those things was, and as much as they filled me with joy, it wasn't quite enough. There was every one of them, just I was thinking about something else at the same time. None of them made me perfectly happy all by itself. That's the way it is with life, if we're honest. You know, a modern philosopher has put it this way. Now, this is a deep thought, so be ready. This is a deep thought. Modern philosopher has said this: even when people are kissing, they're lonely. Think about that. Even when people are kissing, they're lonely. Nothing will ever perfectly fill us up in this life. There's only one thing that will fill us up perfectly. God is the only thing that will ever fill us completely. You know, a modern theologian has put it this way: our hearts have a God-shaped hole in them, and nothing can plug that hole but God himself. St. Augustine said the same thing many centuries ago. He said, "Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts will always be restless until they rest in you." Restless hearts will only be stilled and quieted when they rest in God himself. That's what happens today, really, what the whole meaning of the gospel is. So when Christ meets this Samaritan woman, he offers her living water, his own life, himself. She misunderstands at first. She thinks he's offering her some kind of a spring, you know, a flowing spring in the backyard, so she won't have to go to the well. He's really offering her himself, living water. Water is oftentimes in the scriptures a symbol for the life of God. Think about the first reading today. The Israelites are out there in the desert, thirsty. God gives them water, the promise of himself. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, we see Isaiah prophesying that when the Messiah comes, his people will drink fully. His people will drink fully. In the final book of the gospel, the book of Revelation, we're told that the Lamb, Jesus, will lead his people to streams of living water. Water, life, God. That's what Jesus is offering the woman today. And in her, remember that old song, "Looking for love in all the wrong places"? That's what that was her, looking for love in all the wrong places. But you know, we do that ourselves sometimes in our society. Some of you might remember the cartoon strip Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin's a little boy. Hobbes is his stuffed tiger, playmate. And in the cartoon strip, they talk to each other. One day, Calvin says to Hobbes, "Hobbes, what do you think makes you happiest? Money or power or fame?" And then before Hobbes can answer, Calvin answers his own question. He says, "I think it's money, because if you have enough money, you can buy power and fame." And Hobbes looks at him and says, "Well, I guess that's one way of describing happiness." But see, so many in our society trying to fill that God-shaped hole with something else. Money, material goods, drugs, sex, fame, whatever. But they're always going to be restless. Their hearts will always be restless. Our hearts will always be restless because they're made for God. Only God can fill them up fully. Only God. So as we gather here today, it might be good for us to be honest with ourselves. We all have, in some way or another, hearts that are never going to be filled except by God himself. Our hearts will always be restless until we let God fill them. Let's pray today that we might remember and open up our hearts to God so that he alone can plug that God-shaped hole which is found in the depths of each of our hearts. May God bless you.